Chapter 4. When I awakened that time, to the sound of four bells, I had no idea whether I had slept one day or seven. I knew only that I was hungry. I sensed my own filthiness, too, and I had an almost desperate desire for fresh air. I lowered myself to the cabin floor and was pleased to find that my legs would, after a fashion, hold. But then, as I moved toward the door, my foot stepped on something. I almost fell. Bending down to investigate, I realized I'd stepped on the dirk. When I recalled the circumstances as to why I'd thrown it, I resolved to return the dagger immediately. So it was with dirk in hand that I left my cabin and went up the ladder and onto the deck, fully expecting to see the same brilliant scene of sky, sails, and sea that had greeted me when I had ventured on deck the first time. It was not to be so. Though the Seahawk heaved and rolled, creaked and groaned, her sails hung limply. The sky was different, too, low, with a heavy dampness that instantly wet my face, though I felt nothing so distinct as rain. As for the sea, it was almost the same color as the sky, a menacing clay-like gray. And yet, it was in constant motion, its surface heaving rhythmically like the chest of some vast, discomforted sleeper. I looked about. A few of the sailors were working ropes or scouring decks with heavy holy stones. Their sullen silence, their dirty clothing, was hardly a reassuring sight. Then I realized that one of them, Dillingham was his name, was staring right at me. He was a bearded, bald, and barrel-chested man, with great knuckled fists and a perpetually sulky frown. Suddenly I saw that it was not so much me he was looking at, but the blade I held in my hand. Turning abruptly, I tried to hide the dirk in the folds of my skirt. When I stole a glance over my shoulder, I noted that Dillingham had gone off. All the same, the incident reminded me I had come on deck to give the knife back to Zachariah. Concerned mostly that the other sailors not see what I held, I hastily made my way to the galley. Fortunately, Zachariah was there. Standing at the bulkhead, I mumbled, "Good morning." The old man turned from his pots.
"Ah, Miss Doyle," he cried, "I am glad to see you, and most pleased, too, that you found your, what sailors call, sea legs."
"Mr. Zachariah," I said, weak and breathless, but holding out the dirk, "take this back. I don't want it." It was as if he had not heard me.
"Would Miss Doyle wish some tea?"
I continued to offer the dirk. "Mr. Zachariah, please..."
"Come," he said. "Do as they do in big houses. Enter, drink, and eat. When one recovers one's legs, there's still a stomach to contend with. Then perhaps I'll talk with Miss Doyle about my gift."
I was not sure what to do. It was the smell of food that decided me. I am very hungry. Immediately he reached into a tin chest and brought out what looked like a flat lump of hard dough.
"Would Miss Doyle like this?"
he asked, as if offering a fine delicacy. My nose wrinkled. "What is it?"
"Hardtack. Sailor's bread. Come, Miss Doyle, sit."
As loathsome as the food appeared, hunger dictated. I stepped forward, settled myself on the stool, and took the hardened cake. Meanwhile, I put the dirk in my dress pocket. As I ate, not an easy task, for the biscuit was rock hard and close to tasteless, he busied himself in getting tea.